Reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 6. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
The preaching of John the Baptist. It's from Mark 1, verses 1 to 3. This is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It began as the prophet Isaiah had written. God said, "I will send my messenger ahead of you to clear the way for you." Someone is shouting in the desert, "Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel." And this is the word of God.
Okay, this reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
This reading is from John 1, verses 1 to 5. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
The reading is from John 1, verses 10 to 13. He gave the light right to become children of God. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God.
It's So we continue in John chapter 1 from verse 14 to verse 18. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we've received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Hi, everybody. Well, on the order of service, I come under short talk. Unfortunately, my wife, Barb, is looking after the sound system now, so if it turns into a long talk, she'll probably switch me off. Well, I hope that over this Advent period that you've all had an opportunity to really grasp an understanding of the good news of the gift that our Lord has given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is, or at least should be, the key reason for joy at this time of the year. We celebrate the birth of our Saviour, and through his life, through his sacrificial death and his resurrection, we rejoice that we can once again have a relationship with the Lord and are completely confident in our hope of eternal life, living in heaven in the future with him. But I'm sure you all know it's quite easy for the key news to somehow get lost in the sort of busyness of Christmas. Family visits, shopping, eating, loads of pressure. We get anxious and stressed. And there's no way we can get a real sense of peace. And we can overlook the very thing that we're celebrating. Certainly, my week this week has been very stressful. I felt very anxious, and you lose what you're aiming for somehow. Any joy that you feel might be very short-lived. Once you've had your fill of Christmas, January comes by, the shops are empty, and everything goes back to normal. And it's a bit ironic that you can miss the key news in the Christmas message. And you also miss an opportunity to find lasting joy through a relationship with the person whose birth we're celebrating. Perhaps this time of the year simply goes to reinforce the apparent hopelessness of your life. Many are struggling with personal problems such as loneliness, debt, relationships, sickness, even death. Well, trying to live a life separated from God is hopeless because you haven't got any hope. Jesus is waiting for you to turn to him. He's able to give you a real feeling of fulfillment and joy in your life. And this is a great time of the year to turn your life around. Place your focus on the Lord this Christmas. Trust in the Lord. Turn to him and be filled with a lasting joy. Many will look at the state of the planet and wonder where it's all gone wrong. How do we manage to get ourselves in such a mess as this? What's God doing? Well, God has allowed each one of us the freedom to decide for ourselves. He doesn't make us do anything. We've got free will. And this is how we've ended up in the mess we're in. We've exercised our free will very poorly. It's a result of man's sin that the earth's in such a mess. And this sin is like DNA. It's been embedded within us since the time of Adam and Eve, moving on from generation to generation. And each of us needs to repent of our sins and through Jesus Christ turn back to the Lord. And that is the only way we can really be saved. For some, this time of the year is just utter misery, just a reminder of how little they have. Christmas is nothing more than a commercial event driven by overindulgence, excessive spending. Christmas just means more debt, more misery. But it doesn't have to be like that. Look at what Christmas is really about. Put your focus where it should be and turn your time of misery into a time of rejoicing and lasting joy. Some see Christmas as just something useful to hang a time to party off. In the cold, dark winter months, it's a time that you have a bit of fun. We can pretend that we really care for one another. After a few days, everything goes back to normal. And life doesn't really have to be like that. Jesus' birth highlights the fact that God is fulfilling his promise to provide us with a Saviour. It's only through that very special birth of Jesus that he's able to provide a perfect sacrifice through a very special sacrificial death. And ultimately, his resurrection and demonstration of power over death. And that is what needs to be grasped at Christmas. So let's look at this morning's readings briefly. First reading, the Lord really speaks to us. This is in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus' birth. And we're promised that out of the darkness will arise a light of the world, a saviour for the world. The promised Messiah. And he's given in this passage four important names. Wonderful Counselor. He's exceptional. Distinguished, without peer, the one who will provide the right advice. Mighty God, he is God himself. Everlasting Father, he's timeless, our God and Father. And Prince of Peace, his government is one of justice and peace. This passage is direct reference to the birth of Jesus, something for the people of the time to look forward to. In the second reading, we begin to hear about the work of John the Baptist. In the other Gospels, we hear about his conception and birth, but this really focuses on his work. We can read about his relationship with Jesus. His mother Elizabeth was directly related to Mary. Probably, there's some dispute over this, but probably cousins. But this reading is providing an explanation of who this person is in relation to the promises given by God 700 years before in Isaiah. John the Baptist preparing the way. We know that Jesus came to John and was baptized just before he started his time in the desert at the very beginning of his ministry. In the reading from Matthew, we hear about the birth of the Messiah, and again, this is fulfilling a promise of God going back 700 years in Isaiah 7. But as you read the passage, you can't help but think about the position Mary was in, given her circumstances, and what Joseph's response to this would be. From a human point of view, this really is an incredible story. But what's actually happening is confirmed many times in different ways throughout the Bible. Put yourself in Mary's shoes or Joseph's shoes in those circumstances where she's pregnant. I think it's safe to assume that Mary and Joseph would have spoken to each other about their various encounters with God's angels. Can you imagine what those conversations would be like? Mary will have told Joseph about her meeting with the angel Gabriel, her visit to Elizabeth, and how Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and recognized that Mary was carrying the Lord. Joseph, no doubt, will have recounted the episode covered in this morning's reading to Mary. So even before the birth of Jesus, they were very much aware of what was happening. How amazing and incredible that must have seemed. Following the birth of Jesus, we have the visit of the shepherds again, telling Mary and Joseph the message from the angel. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Reaffirming Mary and Joseph's understanding of the incredible things that were happening to them. And then a few days later, Jesus is presented at the temple. And along comes Simeon, took Jesus in his arms and immediately recognized him as the Lord promised Messiah, the person he had been promised to meet before he died. Read about it in Luke chapter 2. And they hear there that Jesus won't exactly be welcomed with open arms by the world, which he wasn't. Then we have the visit of the wise men from the east and their recognition as well of who Jesus really was and the significance of their gifts. And we have the angel reappearing yet again to Joseph, warning him about Herod's plan and telling him to leave Egypt, live in Egypt until the danger subsides. In several areas, the Bible makes it very clear that Mary heard these things and treasured them in her heart. She knew who Jesus was. She was there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at the wedding at Cana when she told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus' first miracle as he turns water into wine. And then we have the final three readings from John. God is the maker of all things. Without him, nothing is made. He came to earth as human in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. But the world would not recognize Jesus for who he was and will reject him. But for those who do receive Jesus, he gives them the right to become children of God. All in all, this is just an extraordinary and incredible, and perhaps for some, unbelievable set of events. But given the circumstances, what else could possibly be expected? The events surrounding Jesus' birth, the birth of our Saviour, were normal and ordinary. Surely that would be unbelievable as well. The events surrounding the Christmas story are incredible, but they do all hang together and provide a consistent picture. The question is, do you have faith enough to believe? And if you haven't, then what are you actually doing celebrating at Christmas? The Christmas story is enjoyed by most people. They go and watch their kids or their nieces and nephews performing some version of the Nativity with a host of additional characters and get some sort of distorted message from Mary, Joseph, the stables, shepherds, and even you get dolphins and goodness knows what in the Nativity. They get their photos taken, and these photos will be pulled out in 20 years' time to embarrass the now young adults. And people go along to carol services, eat mince pies, perhaps have a bit of a drink, mulled wine, have a really nice time, but the significance of Christmas is completely lost. Yes, Christmas is a time to rejoice and be thankful, but it's not an entertainment. So I just ask that we do take some time out this Christmas to reflect on exactly what we're celebrating. And for those who've not yet accepted Jesus as their Saviour, ask yourself whether you can take that step of faith. Anyway, in any event, I wish you all a good Christmas filled with joy this year. I hope you're able to rejoice in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is your Saviour. Let's pray. Almighty God, maker of all things in heaven and on earth, we thank you that you know and love each one of us, and you have a plan for our future. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord. And we thank you that here in this country we have the freedom to worship you without fear of persecution. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries that do not have this privilege. And we ask that you strengthen and encourage them in their faith. We pray for all those here in the town of Ottery who do not yet know your Son as their Saviour. And we ask that during this Christmas time you will reveal yourself to them and they will understand that they need you in their lives. I lift up to you all in our church family who are struggling with illness, problems, or relationships at this time, and ask that they would know your blessing in their lives. Thank you for being with us here today. Amen. Can now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.